You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. The message is entitled, God's Plan, and is taken from the Bible passage 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. The sermon was given on February the 14th, 2016, at the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, the Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
We're going to share God's Word today from the book of 1 Timothy. And so go ahead and find that passage, if you will, please. We're going to be in the second chapter of 1 Timothy. And on your in your bulletin, you have on the back a place where you can have some sermon notes. And so let me encourage you in that as well. It's not the bulletin insert that we have. The Lord willing, we'll pick that particular message up entitled When Your Mission Gets Interrupted. And we'll pick that message up 2 weeks from today, the Lord willing. But this morning, I would like to share a message entitled God's Plan. God's Plan. And we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And we're specifically going to zero in with verses 4, 5, and 6. But let's read the context of that, beginning with verse 1, where Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, we're talking about God's plan. We're going to zero in with verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, just this past week, I went out to lunch with a friend of mine, and after lunch, before I left the restaurant, I stopped by the restroom, and as I was getting ready to leave the restroom, I stood there at the sink. Now, you know and you're aware of all of these automated faucets that they have. And so I stood there at the sink, holding my hand under the faucet. And I don't know about you, but from a technological standpoint, I get pretty impatient. If something's supposed to be functioning right, and if it's technical, if it's automatic, then I think, well, do your thing. It's supposed to be automatic. So do it. And so I'm standing there at the sink, holding my hand under the faucet. Nothing's happening. And I'm getting a little impatient. Now, just so that you'll know, again, a good illustration of that would be, I'm the type of guy that puts something in the microwave oven and then I pace back and forth in front of it. I'm ready for it to happen. So I moved to the other sink. And I held my hand under that. And then at that point, I start, you know, how you start pushing your hand, trying to get it to recognize that you're there. And then I went back to the first sink and did the same. And I'm looking at that, both of those sinks. And then what I did, I reached out and turned the knob. It wasn't an automated sink. Good. And then the next thing, I looked around to make sure nobody was watching me. I had to do my part on this one. I had to turn the knob. Well, sometimes you just got to do your part. Now, let me ask you this. What is our part spiritually in God's plan? I think we'll see it clearly over the next few moments. Let me just give you four things real quickly about God's plan. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We're going to zero in with verse 4. Number one is the will of God, and that's found in verse 4. Let's go back to verse 3, where he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Now, just transition that real quickly. There's not any, there's really not any grammatical marks there, to be honest with you, as you read it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's it. That's how that reads. So what is the will of God? He says it very plainly right there. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will, all right, here it is, who will have all men to be saved. That is the will of God. It's pretty clear cut. He wants us saved. He wants you saved. He wants me saved. Anybody listening to this today, that the will of God for you is that He wants you saved. Now look at that, verse 4, who will have most people to be saved. Is that what it says? Who will have quite a few people to be saved. Is that how it reads? Who will have a whole lot of people to be... No, read it again. Who will have what? Now, here's an interesting thing. You know what that word in the Greek language means? That word all? It means all. Are you impressed with my Greek? It means all. No one's excluded from that. God wants you saved. You may say, well, Jay, I tell you what, I've met some pretty raunchy people. I've met some pretty lousy people. I've met some real reprobates. Well, I have too. But let me tell you something. God doesn't love them any less. And God doesn't love you any less. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. And He wants you saved. He wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven that He has prepared for you. He wants you to be with Him forever. That is the will of God. And I love the way it reads so simply. Verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all to be saved." That's the will of God. All right, now here's number 2. And it has to do with the Word of God. We're talking about God's plan today. God's plan, first of all, involves the will of God. Secondly, it involves the Word of God. Now, that's also found in verse 4. He says, "Who will have all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, folks, there's only one source of truth. There's only one place where you find the truth. And that's right here in this book. This is it. This is the truth book. This is the book of truth. This is where you find it. This is the template right here. Matter of fact, the Bible says that thy word is truth. And so we need to come to grips with the fact. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but in the few weeks that I've been here with you. But when I ask people if they are Christians, when I ask people if they've ever been saved, in the last several years, I have found myself that I need to put a caveat to that, and that is, I say to people, "Have you ever been saved the Bible way? Have you ever been saved the Bible way?" Because I find that there are a lot of people, when I say to them, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "Oh, yeah." And then they'll give me some, and I'll say to them, "Well, tell me about your becoming a Christian." And then they'll give me some off-the-wall crazy thing. They might say, "Well, I've been a Baptist all my life." Really? I don't remember reading in the Book of Truth about the fact that that is a prerequisite to get to heaven, that you got to be a Baptist. And people say, "Well, I've been baptized." Well, I became convinced years and years ago that you can go to hell wet if that's the only criteria that you're using for salvation. And then I have people say other things like, "Well, you know, my grandpa was a preacher." Okay, keep talking. Tell me more. And that's it. They'll say, "Well, my grandpa was a preacher." Well, that's good. But that is not the Bible way to salvation. You're never, ever going to get to heaven on someone else's coattail. It's just not going to happen. And so, years ago, I started asking people, "Have you become a Christian the Bible way? Or have you been saved the Bible way?" Because you see, this book right here is the roadmap. This book right here is the book of truth. This book right here is the criteria whereby we need to come into a relationship with God. It has to do with the truth. Now, let me give you four things real quickly, and to be honest with you, this is just another sermon that I need, that I could do and perhaps should do. But I tell people that I am a four-eyed preacher. I am a four-eyed preacher. And that is, I believe that this book is inerrant. Inerrant. That's without error. That has to do with the grammar and the structure of the way this book is put together. And again, I ought to elaborate or have time to elaborate to where this is a sermon in itself, to where we understand the significance of this book being inerrant. Secondly, I believe it's infallible. Infallible. That has to do with its content. Not only is it without error, but it is without falsehood. It is infallible. Has to do with its content. Thirdly, it is inspired. That has to do with its authorship. And we could spend quite a bit of time regarding the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And then fourthly, it is incorruptible. That has to do with its longevity. And the Bible itself says that thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. And so I call myself a four-eyed preacher. I believe that the Bible is inerrant. I believe it's infallible. I believe it's inspired. And I believe it is incorruptible. It is, in fact, the book of truth. And so that's what Paul is saying here in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we need to come to the place where we recognize that we are followers of Jesus Christ, the Bible way. It's not our own concept. It's not our own philosophy. It's not our own religion. But it is the Bible way. God's way of living. God's way of eternal life. To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, we're talking about God's plan. So what is God's plan? What does it involve? First of all, it involves the will of God. Where it says there in verse 4, who will have all to be saved. Secondly, involves the Word of God, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here's number 3, God's plan involves the way to God, and that's found in verse 5, the way to God. And he says there in verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Folks, I don't know that you can get any plainer than what these verses are sharing with us today, having to do with God's plan. So what is the way to God? You want to especially be careful in this day and age, because there are a lot of people and a lot of false prophets out there that are saying it doesn't matter how you get to God, we're all going to the same place. Matter of fact, I had someone say that to me one time. They said, well, preacher, I think you and I are going to the same place, but we may be getting there in just a different way. My response to that real quickly was, I don't know, where are you going? Because if that person thought we were going, I know where I'm going. So I wanted to find out where that person was going, and then I could find out how he or she was going to get there. Because I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and I know that there's only one way to get there. And he says it right here. There's one mediator between God and men. And that is who? The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so very clear cut, and especially in this day and age, it is so critical that we understand that there's not a multifaceted way to get to heaven. As long as we all get to the same place. No, not at all. The only way that you're going to get to that place, the only way you're going to get to heaven, the only way you're going to get into the eternal presence of God is to go through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And it's critical that as a church, that's what you're proclaiming. It's critical in this day and age with all the variety of religions that are out there that we proclaim that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's only one true God, and there's only one way to come into an eternal relationship with Him. And that is through our mediator, He calls Him in verse 5, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You've probably all seen the illustration before of the bridge, the fact that we have a chasm between us and God. There's a gulf between us and God, and that's because of our sin. That's what separates us from God. And you've probably seen that illustration of the bridge. And so many of those illustrations are in the form of a cross in order to go across that chasm. And that's a very, very valid picture. The only way to get to God is through the cross. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. The only way to get to God is by being on the bridge. And that bridge is none other than Jesus the Christ. All right, let me show you the final thing. Number one, we're talking about God's plan. Number one is the will of God. God wants everybody saved. That's His will. Number two is the Word of God. God wants us to come into the knowledge of the truth. The only way you're going to get saved is the Bible way. And number three, the way to God, and that is only through Jesus Christ. And then number four is the work of God. The work of God. And that's found in verse 6. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so who's He referring to? Well, back to verse 5. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. And that's the work of God, my friend. Jesus Christ paid the ransom price. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. Jesus Christ paid to get us out of hell so that we could have an eternal relationship with God in heaven. Somebody had to pay for that price. Somebody had to pay that price. Someone had to pay for that sin debt. Someone had to pay for our unholiness, and that was the holiness of God that came through Jesus Christ. God's Word says, He who knew no sin, referring to Jesus Christ, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What an amazing relationship that we can have, only because that ransom price, the work of God has already been done. That work of God was done by Jesus Christ. You see, God bankrupted heaven by sending Jesus Christ to this earth. In due time, it says. And God's Word says that in the fullness of time, God's Son was born unto a woman. It's an amazing plan that God had in order to step out of heaven into earth in the person of Jesus Christ, conceived in a virgin's womb, lived a sinless life, willingly went to the cross of Calvary, willingly laid down His life on the cross to pay that ransom price for our sins, died, and 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead, the first fruits, so that each and every one of us might also know that resurrection power. You see, if God says, I'm offering you eternal life, then I want to have that from a God that knows how to produce eternal life. And so He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So that if God offers you and me eternal life in heaven, then we know that He can produce what He promises. He can provide what He promises. And God certainly can do that. So that's the work of God. That's the work of God that Jesus Christ paid that ransom price. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. Well, go back with me to that faucet. Man, I stood there at that automatic faucet. Well, wait a minute. It wasn't an automatic faucet. I had to turn the knob. Well, what's my part then, spiritually, in God's plan? All I need to do, my friend, is just turn the knob of faith. That's it. It's not automatic. It's not where God just says, okay, you're born, so now you're going to go to heaven, and it doesn't matter anything you do with your life. It doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter anything about the way you live. You see, there comes a time, and that might be right now, where you realize what your part in the plan is. Your part is to turn that knob of faith, my friend. That's it. That's it. Because God's plan has taken care of everything else. Everything else. God's plan involves the will of God and the Word of God, the way to God, and the work of God. And God's waiting for you to simply turn that knob of faith for you to receive God's plan in your personal life. Now let me pray with you, please. Father, it's an amazing plan. Your plan is amazing. Your plan is phenomenal. Thank you that you have provided everything we need for that plan of life, that plan of salvation, that plan of eternal relationship with you. And Father, there's somebody listening here today that needs to reach out and turn that knob of faith. That's all it takes. And I just pray, Father, that that person today would turn from his or her sin and turn to the Savior. That person would turn from his or her own way of life and turn to your way of life. That person would turn from their own journey toward hell and turn to get on your journey toward heaven. I pray, Father, that today that person listening to us by way of radio might turn that knob of faith to receive your marvelous plan of love, your marvelous plan of forgiveness, your marvelous plan of salvation, which you've made available to us only through Jesus Christ. And it's in His name and for His sake that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hearshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.